Notice we didn't sing the Alleluia this morning. Actually, some churches have this service where they bury the Alleluia. So I have a sign that says Alleluia, and they bury it. As we now enter into the pre-Lenten season, a penitential season. This morning's sermon is going to come from the epistle reading that we just heard. And its title is Christian Discipline, Our Preparation for Lent. And I'm going to read the passage again because I sang it. I just want to make sure that you heard it clearly. Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. I don't know if you know this. I looked up a stat. Did you know that 87% of Americans own a pair of running shoes? And that 7% of Americans run on a regular basis? So 87% of Americans understand they need to get in shape. They understand they need to run. They understand they need to exercise. They want to. They invest money to do it. But only 7% of them actually go out and run. Discipline is difficult. I don't know if you know who Tom Landry is. He was coach of the Dallas Cowboys for many years. They called him the American coach. He said this: my job is to get the team doing what they want, what they don't want to do, in order that they may accomplish what they've always dreamed of accomplishing. I think that's true in the ministry as well, that Christian discipline, and this is what we're talking about today because we're coming to pre-Lent, and the Lenten season is this time of reflection on our own discipline and our own lives. But Christianity is a love relationship with God. And it happens through a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And love relationships are about being all in. They're not nominal. They're not minimalistic. It's not seat warming. It's about being all in and investing yourself in this relationship with Christ. When you're courting somebody, when you fall in love, right? Nobody has to tell you you need to be all in. You can't even hang up the phone. No, you hang up, right? You go to see them and you're wearing your best clothes, looking the best you can possibly look. Nobody said you need to go look good. You're courting. You're falling in love. And that's how Christianity should be. It should be about turning over and investing in our relationship with God, turning over our wills, our thoughts, our physical bodies, our desires, our relationships, our understanding of our entire self and the world around us is all submitted to Christ. But unfortunately, I think most of Christianity is nominal, and most of it is looks at it as this sort of minimalistic, in this minimalistic way. Like, what are the rules? And what must I do to get to heaven? That's all. I just what do I have to do to get to heaven? Instead of saying, what's the most I can do? What's the best I can be? How deep can I go in my relationship with Christ, right? So without discipline, what St. Paul is telling us today is that we are slaves to our passions, driven by our emotions, driven by our passions and desires. And it's discipline that Christ calls us to, this life of discipline, pick up your cross and come and follow after me, right? So I thought of it this way, you know, the running shoes illustration. I was thinking, wow, 87% of people have shoes, but only 7% of the people run. Then I thought about it from a spiritual perspective. How many people, how many Christians have Bibles in their homes with dust all over them? There's an intrinsic understanding that I need this book because I need to read it, because I need to learn it, because I need to be close to Christ. And yet it sets, all simply for lack of discipline, right? No other reason. I wonder what the percentage of American homes have Bibles in them that are unread, or rosaries that are unprayed, or icons that are unreverenced. Do you see what I'm saying? We know we need these things, but we don't necessarily discipline ourselves, right? I was thinking, if I could just snap my fingers, if I could just do that, and I would be a saint, would I do it? Would you do it? If you could be totally holy and in a perfect communion with God, all you have to do is snap your fingers. I think most of us would probably say yes to that. So then the deal is that we desire it, we want it, we would do it, but it's hard. And discipline is not easy. So I guess what I'm trying to say, what I'm proposing in our sermon, is that if you're not suffering, struggling in your Christian faith, you're probably stagnant. If you look at the lives of the disciples, if you look at the lives of the saints, if you look at the life of Christ himself, it was this constant self-denial and struggle to become what God has created us to become and to enter into fullness of what God has in store for us. So in our epistle reading today, St. Paul is going to talk to us about this. He gives us two illustrations. One, they're both about athletics, right? One is of a runner and the other one's of a boxer. And so what we're going to look at today is how he describes the life of discipline within Christianity. And we're going to see three things. First, we're going to see the unavoidable sufferings. If you truly engage in Christianity, you will suffer for it. But it's a good suffering, and we'll talk about that. Secondly, we're going to see the unnerving stumbling blocks. There's all kinds of stumbling blocks in our way, and we'll talk about that. And then finally, we'll look at the unending joy. So let's start, first of all, with the unavoidable suffering. The first thing that we have to understand is that the word discipline, which is rooted in the word disciple, by the way, notice how close those words are. A disciple is one who's a disciplined one for Christ, right? A follower of Christ who is disciplined. It's always going to be related to suffering. Inevitably, when we start to deny ourselves, we'll suffer through that. Does that make sense? Every time we say, I'm not going to, then we suffer a little bit. Struggle maybe is a better word. We struggle through it a little bit, right? We fight ourselves. St. Paul says it this way. He says, I beat my body into submission. Because just like us, he struggles. He says at one point, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Who will save me? He talks about his struggle. He talks about how he struggles. But he beats himself. In other words, not physically beating himself, but beating his will, beating his passions, mentally, spiritually. Fighting against it, not just rolling into it every time. It's interesting that when we make decisions, the neurons in our brains fire in a certain way that they become a trend. And then it's automatic for us to lean in that direction every single time for the rest of our lives. We call them habits. To create new habits is hard. It's difficult, right? It's not easy. So St. Paul uses these words. Running, fighting, beating, strict training. And all these words have in common is struggle. Christian faith is a true struggle. Now look it. If you're out of shape like me, when somebody says you need to run, that's tantamount to torture, okay? Like getting to my mailbox sometimes puts me out of breath, all right? So running can be like torture. Fighting, if you're a cowardly person and you have to step into an arena, that's a pretty terrifying thing. Or this idea of beating ourselves into submission doesn't sound overly pleasant, because it's not. It's running versus sitting on the couch. It's fighting versus standing on the sidelines. It's beating our wills instead of just giving in to our passions, right? It's training rather than letting ourselves go. Jesus describes many Christians like a weed blowing in the wind. This is how I feel, and I'm just going to do whatever I feel. And what happens is our passions are like little children in us, undisciplined little children. What do we do with undisciplined little children? We discipline them. We get them in line. And our passions take over, and they drive us, and we become slaves rather than the masters of our passions. So when St. Paul talks about this, he describes it like a race. There's lots of runners in the race, and that's sort of the Christians. And the race is the beginning of your life is a starting line, and the end of your life is a finish line, and the race is your life, right? And he says there's lots of people running, but only a few are running in such a way as to get the prize. He's not talking about whether or not you're going to go to heaven, okay? This isn't what this is about. What he's talking about is how deep can you go in your relationship with Christ? Who could you become if you applied yourself, right? This is what he's talking about. So Christianity, it doesn't necessarily promise great results in this life. In other words, those who struggled the most, what is interesting, if you look at them, look at St. Peter, crucified upside down. Look at St. Paul, flogged, beaten, shipwrecked, bit by snakes, imprisoned. I mean, you look at that life and you go, well, wait a minute, I don't want this. I'm not looking for this. But then when you listen to what they say, what they're saying is, my life is beautiful. Because there's a reward internally, spiritually, this peace, this joy that's unbreakable because you're growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But it doesn't happen automatically or by itself. There was this group of people in 1997, I think it was, I think it was like 50 people, and they took a huge warehouse, like a mega warehouse, and they turned it into an environment, like a town. And the goal was to record these people living in the town and to watch how they lived, and they were studying behavioral patterns. And they built this town. It was absolutely perfect. Like, it looked exactly like a town if you were in there. They stayed there for one full year. And if you were in this town, you would feel like you were living in a town. But they had this one problem over and over and over again. The trees kept falling down. And they did all these studies. They're like, we're putting good trees into good soil. It's deep. It's got roots. Like, what's the problem? Well, the problem was the one thing they didn't simulate was the wind. And with no wind, the trunks couldn't strengthen. And after a few months, they would start to come down. They would start to fall. And it's true with us as well. What God isn't so concerned with our comfort as he is with our, you know, our faith in Christ, our growth. And so he gives us these windy storms to strengthen our cores, right? But if we look at the illustration of St. Paul, he talks about preparing to run a marathon. I mean, I don't know a whole lot of people besides maybe Mark Long, and even he prepared a little bit for the Boston Marathon. I mean, he walked it. God bless him. I don't think I could do that. But most people, if you're seriously contending in the Boston Marathon, you're not just going to wake up in the morning and show up. You're preparing mentally, physically, emotionally. You're preparing yourselves. And I wonder how often we just wake up every day and let the day just carry us through. No prayers, no asking God, what is your will today? What do you have for me today? Where am I supposed to be going today? So I guess the first point that I'm trying to make is that there's going to be suffering if we decide to engage in a serious way the Christian faith. Jesus didn't say, you know, come follow me, let's go to a party. He said, pick up your cross, come and follow me, come and die with me. Die to what? Die to you. Die to your will. Live for other people. Die to all your passions and desires. Listen and be quiet, right? So this is what Christianity is really all about. We talk about sainthood and how do they get there? Well, they're like St. Paul. The second thing is there's these unnerving stumbling blocks. You know, there's not only going to be struggle, but there's stumbling blocks. And what are these stumbling blocks? Well, our proclivity is what? Our proclivity is to rest, to be comfortable. What do we always talk about? I just want to be on the beach. I just want to sit. I just want to rest, right? This is what our overwhelming proclivity is. We spend most of our time, most of our money, investing in concepts of resting, comfort, peace, right? How much money do we spend to take a trip to just lay on a beach for a few hours? You see what I'm saying? Because this is what we perceive to be the ultimate goal, this comfort. But that's the kingdom of heaven. We're not there yet. Your life is meant to be lived. You weren't created to exist. I'm going to exist today. You were created to live. One of the things you need to understand about life is it's terminal. All right? None of us are coming through this without death. So if we're going to die and we've got one life to live, what is the point in just existing? We live it. Take some risks. Take some chances. Discipline yourselves. Become the best that we could possibly be, right? St. Paul talks about the runner, and he says that if you're just living for comfort and you're living for yourself, then you're like a runner who just runs aimlessly, just running in circles. Or he says you're like a boxer, and the boxer's beating the bag, right? He's just punching at the wind. And he's dreaming in his heart and his mind about being the champion of the world. But he never enters the ring. He never enters the arena. He'll never be that champion. He'll never even have a taste of what it's like to lose trying to be the champion. He'll only have this imagination and this dream with nothing behind it. And that's what St. Paul is saying. So what St. Paul is calling us to is like run like people who actually want to get there. God created us to aim high, right? So what are the stumbling blocks? Our pride. We lack spiritual poverty. We don't mourn our sins, our weaknesses enough. We delude ourselves into thinking we're somehow okay as we are. We don't really have to work on ourselves. And we have misguided desires, right? Our targets are to strive for comfort, security, rest. And we live in fantasies, like the boxer who's beating the air. Oh, I'm going to beat Mike Tyson one day. I'm just never going to get in the ring. You see what he's saying? God created us to aim high, to push hard, to struggle, to suffer, to achieve sainthood. We're created to live, not to exist. And thirdly, an obvious final point is the unending joy of spiritual discipline. The unending joy. The obvious final point today is that the unending joy of spiritual discipline is eternal life with Christ, right? How many of us have watched, you know, the Red Sox or the Patriots, or this sort of sporting event, you see like the ninth inning home run, and you imagine in your mind, like, what would it be like to have hit that ball? What would it be like to be that person right now? Everybody's lifting up in the air, and thousands of people are cheering, and what would that be like? And St. Paul's like, well, why don't you run in such a way as to find out? Why don't we run in a way where we're like that buzzer beater? We're like that overtime touchdown, like that moment. But then St. Paul says, they're running for this earthly crown that, you know, Tom Brady's got 7 rings. He's going to be 90 years old. One day they're going to sit in a cabinet somewhere. There'll be videotape of it. But St. Paul's like, what we're running for is an eternal crown, a blessing. Just imagine this for a minute. If you get excited when you see Tom Brady win a Super Bowl or something, right? Imagine what it's like to see St. Paul entering the kingdom of heaven and the pomp and glory of somebody who just completely turned their whole entire life over to the will of the Father. Imagine what that moment is like. It's not like an earthly celebration. It's an eternal one, right? And it's not like we wait till we die to get it. This growing love relationship with God, to the measure that you use, will be measured back to you. And Jesus says it'll be shaken and pressed down and overflowing. So that if we just put in a little, much more comes back, right? I have a quote from St. John Chrysostom. He says this, and I paraphrase it. Your master, Jesus Christ, who has anointed you with his spirit, has also led you forth into this arena, this world. He's seen it good to take you from the condition more pleasant and has imposed on you a harder treatment of fasting, prayer, self-denial, unconditional love, and forgiveness. Why? That your strength might be greater and your hope greater. With each attempt at self-discipline, our hope for victory grows. This is why he uses athletes to describe this, St. Paul. It's like this growing discipline and this achieving, right? Athletes are like kept from luxury and like dainty meats. And I don't mean luxury and like Tom Brady has a great car and stuff. I'm just saying like they have to beat themselves, train themselves. They don't go out and have like a massive pork dinner before, you know, the game. They have discipline. They're not going out and getting drunk the night before, you know, a boxing match. You know what I'm saying? They're like, they wake up and say, okay, what am I trying to achieve? How do I need to get there? And they have discipline to do it. And because of this, what St. John Chrysostom is saying is they have this growing sense that I could possibly do this because they invested themselves in it. So I'll conclude with this. It's hard to come to Mass every week. It's hard. I know. It's hard to say your prayers every day, morning and evening. Wait till Lent comes. It's hard to fast. As soon as you say you're going to do it, it becomes very difficult. It's hard to forgive your enemies. It's hard to practice self-control. And there's a voice inside of you that says this. You know, you can have meat today. It doesn't really matter. What are you really accomplishing? But there's another voice inside of you that I want you to listen to this Lenten season. And that voice says, I long to be holy. I want to be wise. I want to be at peace with Christ. I long to be in communion with Christ. But if you're not suffering and struggling in your Christian life, you're probably not living it out. You're probably in a nominal place. And I'm not saying I'm preaching to myself. Believe me, I'm not saying I'm any better than any of you. And I'm not saying that our church is completely nominal and we're not any good or anything like that. I'm just saying that this Lenten season should be a time when we're preparing for it now, where we really push ourselves. And we ask ourselves, what could I be? You know, I want to conclude with this one thought. There's this gentleman, did I say I was going to conclude like 3 times already? I'm really going to conclude this time. This gentleman, Jordan Peterson, I've been listening to him. He's a really smart psychotherapist, psychoanalyst, whatever. But he said, the interesting thing about being alive is that you're all in, and this is going to kill you. So I think we ought to play the most significant or magnificent game we can. Choose to become the best possible you that you can be, because in Christ, you're more powerful than you think, way more powerful. God only knows what you're capable of in the final analysis. How far could we take the Christian life if we stopped wasting time, if we stopped lying and making excuses and oriented ourselves to the highest possible good that we can conceive of and become committed to that? How much good could we possibly do? And the whole sermon today that St. Paul was saying was, well, heck, let's find out. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, God is one.